Good morning, everyone. I have the task of preaching a one-hour sermon in 10 minutes. No, if you know me, you know I don't have one-hour sermons. Anyway, I was told this morning about Ecclesiastes 6:11. The more the words, less the meaning. So I'll try to keep this brief. So it was awesome to see everyone, all the kids graduating this morning. Always the highlight of the year. Welcome to all the visitors who are visiting with us this morning. So before I get into my message very quickly, I was doing a little bit of Googling this week, just because I can, about random things. And the thing that I was Googling about was selfies. You know, when did they start? So the term selfie actually made it into the Oxford English Dictionary in 2013. But the first selfie was taken in 1839 by someone named Robert Cornelius in Philadelphia. So it predates 2013. But if you really go back in history, the really first selfie goes all the way back to the Renaissance period, when the artists back then did self-portraits. And they took days, months, sometimes years painting themselves. So it's all about self-image today, so I just want you to be comfortable with who you are and the way God made you. So it's okay to take selfies. And here, I'm going to read something out that I want you to guess the period when it was written. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contemporary authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children now are tyrants, not servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers. Any idea when that was written? What's that? No, it wasn't. It was written by Socrates 469 BC. So my point is, every generation in history thinks they're a little better than the one before. But there's nothing new under the sun. So today I want to talk about questions God asks. There are questions we ask God, but God asks us questions as well. So I've researched the scriptures and come up with some questions God has asked us, and specifically he's asking you today. So the first one is, where are you? So come with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Very known story. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? So where are you today? Adam was made for God by God, but he was hiding from God. There are circumstances in our lives that we can easily separate ourselves from God. We can hide from God. We can feel like God is going to condemn us for something that we've done or didn't do, and the easy way to deal with that is to run away from God and hide from God. But I want to tell you today, this morning, that our God is a seeking God. He's a saving God. He's a redeeming God. He's a revealing God. He's a God who seeks out a relationship with us. So where are you this morning? God is asking you, where are you? Where are you in your relationships, in your accountability, in your family relationships, in your finances, in your self-control? Are you running to God? Are you running away from God? Where are you today? Second question God is asking you today is, what is this you have done? That sounds like a loaded question. It's not meant to condemn. Genesis 3, verse 11. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So we see the passing of the buck here. With deception, the way enemy comes into our lives, there's always an element of truth. The first thing that the enemy did was to cast doubt. Genesis 3 says, starting from verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil, referring to the fruit. there's always an element of truth in our temptations placed before us. So from deception to doubt to ambition, the enemy can use circumstances in our lives to push us in the wrong direction. Ambition not channeled in the right way can lead us in the wrong path. He can cause us to believe that God can't be trusted. Since you can't have it God's way, there's always another way, the counterfeit way. So if God were to ask you today, and he is asking you today, what is this you have done? What will your response be? Are we in a position to confess what we have done wrong and know that he's faithful and just to forgive us? That we don't have to find another way to achieve our goals just because things aren't going the way we want it to go. Third question God is asking today is, what is life? That seems like a very broad question. James 4, actually I'm going to read from the verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city, spend this year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I was reading a blurb here, and I stumbled upon a passage from Einstein's Credo that reads, our situation on this earth seems strange. Every one of us appears here involuntarily and uninvited for a short stay without knowing why and wherefore. Seems like a bleak picture, and many of us have gone through parts of our lives where we maybe believe parts of that. And the context of the scripture of James 4 refers to boasting, but it's also about the illusion of control or purpose that we think we have apart from God. Maybe you've asked the same question. Maybe you think you're worthless or of less value than someone else. But what God is saying this morning is the truth is that Jeremiah 1:4 says that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before you were even conceived, God had a plan and a purpose for your life. So you're a purposeful person, not a random person passing through this life. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Acts 13, 36 says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, then he fell asleep. We will complete the purpose for which God has called us. Colossians 1, 16 says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, All things have been created through him and for him. Psalm 33:11, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And lastly, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. So I hope today that you would conclude that you're not just passing through, that your life has meaning and purpose. You are made in beauty and splendor. You should look at the mirror in the morning and say, I'm beautiful. I do that every day. What is in your hand? That's what God is asking you at the last question this morning. Exodus 4:2. Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, the Lord said, is so that they believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. So, what is in your hand today? God is asking you. A staff is just a stick. It's just a glorified stick. It's a mundane thing. And God has a way of taking the common things that we have and using it for his supernatural purpose. So what can you offer God today? I say that to all the graduates of all ages and those who have graduated a long, long time ago. What is in your hand today? This could be talents, abilities, gifts, influence, and more. But what you withhold or keep in your hand reveals what's in your heart. So release what you have that you're holding on to. God is waiting to use what is in your hand. So God's last question this morning, what is in your hand?